We are looking at the book of 1 Timothy and chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we are on verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There is one mediator and one God. And our subject today is just that, one mediator. And it's a subject that we all need to know about. Well, why do we need to know about it? Because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is none, not one righteous. No, not one. We know also that we are not really condemned because of the sheer volume of our sins. We are condemned because of our deprived nature, the nature which we inherited from our first father, Adam. And that nature is flawed. That nature is contaminated. Even a young child doesn't need to be educated to misbehave. They just know all by themselves. It's the sin nature in them. No mother teaches their children to be naughty. They just are damaged. Their nature is sinful. And so our worst sin, if you were to think about what sins are the worst sins, our worst sin is simply this, that we ignore and reject what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And we say, no, we don't need him. We don't need a mediator. And he is the only one who can be the mediator between God and man. He's the only one that can freely offer redemption. And if we continue to rebel against the only one who can give grace to us, we can never be restored back to God. So we need a mediator. We need a savior. We need somebody to forgive us. But I want us to just look at some interesting statistics. Have you ever considered the vastness of our sin that the Lord has forgiven? Well, whether our sin is in action, actual doings of wrong, whether it's in thought, you know, sometimes you can think very bad thoughts towards people, or you can neglect doing what you know you should do. Well, whatever our sin is, even if it's a wrong attitude, let's say the average person sins or transgresses once about every 3 minutes. You say, well, that sounds a lot. Well, actually, it's not, because we have a sinful nature. It would be more accurate to say we sin every second. But let's give man, sinful man, the benefit of the doubt. He sins once every 3 minutes. Well, an average person is awake for approximately 14 hours a day, some even longer, and some people live up to 90 years of age. So if you were to multiply out how many sins they would commit in a lifetime, it's 9.18 million sins in a lifetime. It's a lot of sins. And to think that even one of those sins is enough to condemn us. You say, how will one sin, just one little sin, keep me out of heaven? Well, you understand that heaven is absolutely pure, absolutely holy. There is no unholiness in heaven. There is no impurity in heaven. Heaven is a place of light and no darkness at all. So in heaven, no light, no darkness can enter heaven. No sin can enter heaven, not even a little one. Heaven is pure and holy, and no wickedness is ever permitted into heaven. So one little sin is enough. And yeah, we are, as human beings, we have committed over 9 million sins in our lifetime. And that's assuming that we only sin once every 3 minutes. Well, when we think of this, that our Lord forgives all those many sins, that when we receive Him, all of those are washed away. What grace He gives to us. What mercy He shows us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, this verse gives us a terrible, terrible list of sins that we won't find in heaven. And when we see and we read that terrible list, there are some words that say, you and me were just like those people that are being described. We were guilty of those very things that are written. And yet, we can rest in this fact. We can rest that we are redeemed. We are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful that although we had such a vast list, we are washed? So, yes, we need a mediator. We all need a mediator. In the Old Testament, the word mediator wasn't actually used. It was a word, a very old-fashioned word called a daysman. And even in some modern translations, for example, in the book of Job, this was Job's cry. Job said, if only there was a daysman for me, if only I had a mediator. And Job said, neither is there a daysman betwixt us that he might lay his hand upon me and a hand upon God. An umpire, a referee, a reconciler. Job longed. He longed for somebody to be a middleman, to reconcile him to God, to place his hand on Job and place his hand on God and reconcile the two. And Job, we see that in Job 16, 21. Job said that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. He desired for one to reason for him. And that's what man's desire is, cry is, for a mediator, one who can be a mediator. We cannot approach God on our own. We need a mediator. And we have Christ. We have Christ, the man, the one mediator. Christ, who is God, 100% God. And Christ, who is man, 100% man. And He will plead my cause before the Father. He's my advocate. He's my intercessor. Oh, Christ, fully God and fully man, intercedes on our behalf before the Father. As God, He possesses the divine authority to prevail. As man, He identifies with our weaknesses. He knows how weak we are, and He knows how holy His Father is, and He represents us perfectly because He became one of us. He came from heaven to earth. He took on the form of a man. He knows us. He suffered what we suffer. And so He represents us perfectly to the Father. He alone is the true mediator, appointed by the Father, sufficient in righteousness and effective in His atoning work. Now, No other religion has a mediator. And you can look at all the different Islam kinds of, what do you call it, the different kinds of Islam. They don't have a mediator. Maybe they have a holy man that will tell them, if you do this and this and this, but they have nobody that can be an intercessor before the Father on their behalf. And our mediator, Jesus Christ, he came to this earth. It was prophesied that he would come centuries, thousands of years before he came. It was spoken that he would come even before he came. Everything was prophesied in great detail, how he would justify many, how he would be the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, how he would bear our iniquities. It was spoken about before we were ever born. He is mighty, the perfect Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Now, this word taketh away, it's a wonderful word, and it encourages my heart so much. Taketh away is a perpetual act. Like the sun perpetually shines in the day. You don't come out and say, oh, the sun's gone out today. No, the sun is perpetually shining, and perpetually God taketh away our sins. The more we multiply our sins, the more he multiplies his pardon for our sins. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful mediator. One who taketh away the sins of man. Now, our mediator, Jesus Christ, is gracious. He doesn't condemn us. He's gracious. He receives us graciously, and not just us alone, but according to verse 4, 1 Timothy 2:4, he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we see that the Savior's command to his apostles was universal. He said, go and teach all nations. He didn't say go only to the Jews. He said, go and teach all nations. Matthew 28 and verse 19. And then we can go even wider in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. So it is God's desire that his gospel is preached in the whole world to every creature. And it's taken to mean, this portion of scripture, it means all people of all nationalities, all kinds of men. It's not speaking mathematically of a single person, but it's speaking of all nations. The language used here reflects a global scope for the gospel. The gospel is to be preached globally, not limited to one people, but to all people groups. And there's one mediator for all people groups. There's not one savior for the Jews and another savior for the Gentiles. There's not one savior for Americans and another savior for the British. No, one savior, one God, one mediator for all people. And there's no distinction in God's eyes. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is rich toward all who call upon him for mercy. That's Romans 10 and verse 12. So Jesus Christ is known in the scriptures as the mediator of the better covenant. The better covenant. He satisfies justice perfectly. This is who our Jesus is. But the question arises, if grace is for all people of all nations, of all types, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, why do so many people perish? And the answer to this, we must understand that Scripture speaks of God's will in different ways. Sometimes it refers to His sovereign decree, and at other times it refers to His revealed will. So when Paul, the apostle, says he desires all people to be saved, he's speaking of God's revealed will, His gracious invitation to all, but not all will respond. And the fault is not God's power. The fault is not God's purpose. He desires all to be saved, but the fault is human rebellion, human stubbornness. God's sovereign will remains unchanged and effective. It's His revealed will. It shows His heart and His mercy to save the lost. And it saves His, it shows His mercy for justice to be done. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. He is one with the Father. And He took on human flesh. He became one of us, as I've already said, that He could bear our guilt, that He could take our sins to the cross. He took our sin upon Himself. Now, as I said earlier, there's not a single man or a single woman that doesn't need a redeemer, that doesn't need a mediator. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need rescue. We've inherited sin from our first father, Adam. And there's a great distance between God and man. And there needs to be a bridge so that man can reach God. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. And look how mighty and how astounding the work of Christ, the mediator, is. This is absolutely astounding. And I'm going to explain it in... So we got this chasm. We got man on one side and God on one side, and a deep chasm, and man cannot cross over to God. It's like we need a bridge. And when I was preparing this, I heard of a testimony of a great suspension bridge, the world's greatest suspension bridge, a massive structure built to span this wide chasm. And there was amazing design. It's the longest bridge in the world. It's in northern Turkey. It still stands today. And it stretches. The bridge is 4.6 kilometers long. And it has only two supports that are over 300 meters high, and then it's connected by steel cables across this great span of water, very deep water. So it's a mighty feat of engineering. Six lanes of traffic, three going this way, three going this way, big trucks driving on it. It was designed to withstand earthquakes. It was designed to withstand strong, powerful winds. It's a mighty feat of engineering. But to be honest with you, it's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. That bridge is nothing compared to what the Lord accomplished. He bridged the greatest gulf, the infinite separation between sinful man and a holy God. He reconciled people from every generation, past, present, and future, through His atoning work. Now, Just consider the weight of our sin in our generation alone. I told you earlier that how many sins we had committed, 9.1 million sins in our lifetime. So if every person alive today in this generation was to put their sin upon Jesus Christ, that would be 74 quadrillion sins put on Jesus. How much is a quadrillion? A quadrillion is a billion billion. A billion billion, 74 billion billion sins put upon Jesus Christ, and he didn't collapse. He took them to the cross because he loved us so much. And that's just our generation. What about all the previous generations? What about the generations to come? He is the one mediator. He is God. He is Christ, the mediator, the living God, because no man could take 74 quadrillion sins upon himself. Only God, man, could do that for us. And he did it for us. And he carried this enormous weight, Christ, the mediator. There is only one mediator, Jesus Christ. We were cut off from God. We had no way to get to God. But the mediator came, Christ Jesus. He came and made a way. He didn't just span the gap. He became the bridge himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And through him alone, we have reconciliation. The price was himself. He paid with his own precious blood. And in the eyes of God, the sins of the whole world were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I ask a question that's so important. Friend, have you claimed this freedom, what Christ has done on the cross for us? He has purchased it with his own precious blood. Has it become ours? Are we redeemed? Are we new creations in Christ? You see, many people, their sin, like Jonah, had taken them down, down, down. Sin takes us down. And Jonah had gone down, the Bible says, to the very roots of the mountains, so far down. Yet our God is such a wonderful mediator. He can lift us out of the deepest, darkest pit. He can hear us no matter how far we sink down to the roots of the mountains. He hears our cry. And though we are in the deepest pit, God inclines his ear to a desperate cry for help. And he lifts us up with his mighty act of grace. And he reaches down into the pit and he pulls the sinner out. And he lifts him from despairing darkness and he sets us on the rock, our feet upon the rock. Instead of leaving us where we were, struggling in the miry clay, he translates us out of darkness into his glorious light, out of the miry clay, onto the rock. Christ firmly places us on solid ground, the rock of ages. He establishes our going. He doesn't just leave us. He establishes our goings. He watches over us. He doesn't just pull us out. He sets our feet on a new path, on the narrow way, the righteous way, the way of truth and the way of life. Our walk is now established, and we are confident that he is guiding us. He puts a new song in our mouth. The morning and By mourning, I mean the crying and the complaining and the absolute despair and fear that we had before salvation is replaced with praise. It's replaced with gratitude. Oh, for this new life that God has given me, my heart overflows with gratitude. So this is what Christ, the mediator, does for us when we call upon Him. Our debt was so vast that we couldn't pay. The debt of sin, the handwriting that was against us, has been taken away and nailed to the cross through the death of Jesus Christ. We are delivered from the death and the penalty of sin. He has died for our sin. And not only has He died for our sin, He has risen again. Christ, the mediator, is risen again. And everyone that He represents is now declared righteous before God. We are declared righteous before God. His perfect life covers us. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. We are spiritually alive. We are made new. We are brought near to Jesus Christ, near to the Father through Jesus Christ, Christ, the only mediator, the one who rose from the dead. Friend, He paid our debt. He paid our sin completely. Don't you think we have a debt of service towards Him? Oh Lord, You've done so much for me. You've laid down Your life for me. I owe You everything, Lord. I owe You a debt of service, a debt of gratitude, a debt of surrender, of everything, Lord. And Lord, I don't want to get entangled again with sin, but sin took You to the cross. My best friend, I will never entertain sin. I will reject sin. You suffered because of my sin. Oh, let me not get entangled again. So our mediator, He provides so much. He gives us a garment of perfect righteousness. Oh, white and clean, perfect righteousness. He gives us perfect peace with God. Who else can give peace? Only the mediator. Only the mediator. He comforts us with His love. He makes us citizens of the heaven above. Everlasting life He gives us. He gives us a crown which never fades. Oh, the mediator, only one can give us these eternal blessings. Christ, the mediator. I'm going to draw to a close now. There is a hymn writer by the name of Augustus Montague Toplady. He's a well-known hymn writer. You most probably will know the hymn that he wrote. It's the hymn Rock of Ages. He is the writer of that hymn. He wrote it in 1775. And he was a gifted, not only was he a gifted hymn writer, he was a gifted theologian, he was a poet, and one of his tasks was he served as the editor of a magazine called the Gospel Magazine. And in one of the articles, he reflected on the staggering debt, the national debt of England in the day of 1700. And I find it amazing. In those days, they did not have paper money. They only had coins. And he explained that there was only one coin big enough to even consider paying the national debt. If one were to attempt to pay the national debt using these coins, it was calculated that it would require a line of horses and carts. They didn't have trucks in those days. And the average size cart was a half-ton cart. So it could carry half a ton of coins. You would have to fill up carts from one end of England to the other end of England, from a place called Land's End to John O'Groats. Now that's 1,300 kilometers. There would need to be a line of horses and carts for 1,300 kilometers to carry enough coins to pay off the national debt. That's how much debt they were in at that time. His point was clear that this debt that England had was unpayable. And our debt, those 9.18 million sins, it's unpayable. Even if we had to line up carts from here to Mombasa, it's not enough. It wouldn't atone for our sins. And the debt that we owe God is even infinitely greater than any national debt. No human effort, no moral currency, no religious work can ever pay it. But praise God, there is one who can pay it. Christ, our mediator, paid our unpayable debt. As heavy as it was, he paid it with his own blood. His sacrifice is of infinite worth, sufficient to cover the sins of all who trust in him. So when this man, Toplady, wrote this article, he ended the article with these words, which later became a hymn. And here are their words: Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side flow, which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Only the blood of Christ, the mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, only he can cleanse my sin away. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we are so thankful that you sent our Savior, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to become the mediator, Christ the mediator. Thank you that you took all of our sin to the cross. Oh, thank you for pardon. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for perpetual forgiveness, that as we multiply our sins, you multiply your pardons. Thank you that you are our intercessor, that you are the one who will never fail us, Lord, that our debt is fully paid, that because you live and you have risen, we too shall rise and we too shall live. Oh, we are so thankful, Savior. And we pray for anyone that doesn't yet know you, anyone that's not sure of their salvation, that they would today look to you, Christ, the mediator. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.